We have a special guest on the phone who is the co-host with Jeff Goodman on a Manhattan cable TV show called Two on the Isle that airs biweekly, I think, on Friday nights. Charles Gross will tell us all about it. Hello, Charles. You there?
Doing.
Oh, hi. I'm good, Charlie. How are you feeling? You were under the weather this week also, weren't you?
I was. I'm getting over a cold. I hope you didn't catch it. But I'm feeling
Yeah,
feeling
he got it
better.
From you, Charlie. It's all your fault.
That's right.
Jeff always likes to blame things on me.
Well, yeah, it's a mutual blame game kind of thing. But no blame here. Here, we only have sweetness and light and dissing about all the different people who are nominated. But Charlie, just real quick, tell people about Two on the Isle.
Well, Two on the Isle is kind of a Siskel and Ebert format. And Jeff and I have been doing it for quite some time. It's seen on in Bergen County, New Jersey, on a weekly basis. I believe it's Channel 99. And it's also seen on Manhattan on Channel 57 every other week, Friday night, 8 o'clock.
And people can also watch it and listen to it on the net.
You can, yes.
By?
www.mnn.org, O-R-G.
And that's M... Yeah.
M as in Mary, M as in Mary, N as in Nancy.
No, you got it wrong. It's MNN.
Oh, I'm sorry, MNN. I guess I'm still under the weather.
Just
a bit.
Do MNN for Manhattan
Neighborhood
Network. That's what it stands for.
Yes.
Oh well, Charlie.
But we're also going to be on Google.
Oh, did you get the video Google thing?
Yeah, video Google.
Oh, tell people about
VideoGoogle.com. You can't see us just yet.
Okay.
We were going to have the Tony Awards show, which had a special guest critic named David Lefkowitz on it.
Who's he?
Unfortunately, we've had some equipment malfunctions.
Oh.
And so I don't know if we're going to get it on this year, but
oh.
It will be on. It will
well,
certainly be next on
next year. You can
year
get our Tony Awards from last year.
Yeah. Well, when you're doing the 2007 nominees, you can broadcast the 2006 ones.
Yeah.
Just for comparison.
Yeah, well,
and we'll
you know,
throw in the 2005.
Then you can see how well our predictions panned out.
Exactly. By the way, speaking of predictions.
Unlike some wimpy film critics, we actually predict on Two on the Isle not only who we think should win, but who we think will win.
Have you ever tallied up how you guys are doing over the years, what your your wins and losses are as far as just predictions?
I got more.
Yeah, you think?
I generally do better than Jeff.
Oh, man. You really are Siskel and Eberting after all these years, aren't you? Well, thank God you're not, because Siskel's dead and Ebert's got cancer again, but
yeah.
You know what I mean.
Yeah.
Let's get to some of the categories, shall we? Let's start with the design stuff, get that out of the way early. Not that these are lesser awards or of any kind of less importance.
I love these awards.
They're
I really
important.
Do.
You go to the Broadway Theater, not just
it's
to
a
to,
visual
but to
medium.
See it. Right. You can become part of it if the set is good. So, let's
so
start
the
with...
The problem is with things like lighting, set design, costume design, you know, you don't notice them per se, and that's a good thing.
Depending on the show,
if they're done right, you don't notice them.
Well, like
not necessarily set design, you notice.
True,
and it also depends. Like people would not have noticed, let's say, the Awaken Sing set
correct.
So much, except for the fact that it becomes over the course of the show, it slowly becomes dismantled and pulled off into the flies until there's no home set anymore. Some critics found that really impressive and part of the importance of this revival. And others said, no, it was too distracting. It was a director/set designer's thing that took away.
Like a period piece tends to have a better chance because, you know, they can do something different. If it's like a modern play, they'll just think, oh, well, they slapped together, you know, some clothes, went to Sears, got
that. That's not true, because
no,
didn't you see Rabbit Hole?
But this...
Which
yeah,
had the best set design this year, I think.
Well, wait. Why did Rabbit Hole have... Because that's nominated.
Rabbit
that's,
Hole, first of all...
John Lee Bailey.
John Lee Bailey, who I think is brilliant. And they had a brilliant set design, which was on three turntables that turned simultaneously and created an entire house. And it was just visually stunning, and the way they moved from room to room, and the rooms actually moved...
Right, but the houses were verite. They were all looked absolutely real. So it wasn't an imagination thing. It was creating,
but it was
totally
well, it was different
realistic.
Rooms in the house. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But I mean, it was just brilliant the way that set moved.
So that
and
would
how
be,
the set changed.
Would that be your choice for
absolutely.
Among? Let me read the nominations, by the way. There for set design of a play: John Lee Bailey, Rabbit Hole; Bob Crowley for The History Boys; Santo Laquasto, 3 Days of Rain; and Michael Yergin, as we said, Awake and Sing. Charlie, what are your thoughts on that category?
Well,
Of course, 3 days of rain did rain on the audience. So.
Exactly. Well, part
I actually did like the set for 3 days of rain. I think it did convey the feeling of the show. So I don't think 3 days of rain is going to win because A, the show closed, and because everyone is so down that Julia Roberts kind of gave a standard performance instead of a brilliant performance.
Right, but we're just talking about set at this point.
Right. Well, but again, I think it ties in because people are not, unless you've got, you know, a Lion King or a Chitty Chitty Bang Bang or, you know, a Miss Saigon with a helicopter, people are not as aware of the set as they are of other aspects.
Even Tony voters, who should be a little more...
Even Tony voters. So, you know, a show like Rabbit Hole, which is closed and it's kind of off people's radar, probably, you know, even if you totally agree with Jeff, and, you know, I like Rabbit Hole quite a bit. I like the play as well as the set.
Uh-huh.
But I think History Boys, which is kind of sweeping everything, or seems to be sweeping everything, that's, you know, getting, you know, the scuttlebutt is that that's the show that will win this year.
But the
so
set?
Probably
it was a terrible set. It had projections, and it had
Well, the projections were there to keep everything moving and trick everything up between
really
scenes.
That's not really part of the set.
Mm.
Projections are projections.
Right.
Just like there's no award for sound design.
And yeah, I've also heard complaints, and even I was fairly centered towards the front on History Boys, but I've heard complaints of people sitting on the far sides that they really feel among them you, Jeff.
Yes.
So that is a function of set design too. If whole parts of the audience either see the backstage area or feel sort of left out because the skew is really for front and center and perhaps for a smaller theater.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
but
let's let that
again,
one drop.
But again, History Boys seems to be the it show this year.
What about musicals? Let's go with set design for musicals. John Lee Beatty again, he did the Color Purple set. David Gallo did the Drowsy Chaperone. Derek McLean, the Pajama Game. And Clara Zieglerova for Jersey Boys, again, for set design.
Personally,
mm-hmm.
I think any time you can get a musical coming out of a refrigerator, that's worth something. Which,
very
which
nice
is why my choice would be the Drowsy Chaperone. Just how they open up this apartment into New York, presumably a New York City apartment, and suddenly it becomes the set of this, early 20th century musical. I just love that.
Jeff, any thoughts on that?
I thought it was the most creative set, for sure.
Well, yeah. That should mean a lot, actually.
Yeah, well, I don't know, but it's also, does the set work? Like, for Jersey Boy, I like the set also because it was very functional.
Yeah.
Jersey Boy covered a lot of little areas, and the set design had to be so perfect because you had to realize where they were. They were in auditoriums,
well,
they were in
cafes,
bedrooms.
They were driving into Passaic somewhere, right, yeah.
Yeah. So the prisons, I mean, it had, and it was, I thought it was kind of a big metal monstrosity myself, but...
Well, prisons would be.
But yeah. No, but I mean...
Yeah, would Jersey Boys be your choice, Jeff?
I agree with Rousey Chaperone.
Oh, because it's fun, yeah, out of the fridge, and...
And it's colorful, and it shows off.
Any thoughts on Color Purple? I mean, people are sort of disregarding it just because we were so bored by it. But on the set, I don't even, you know, no offense, but I don't remember the set.
There were a lot of trucks for the set, you know, the pieces that come in and out.
Uh-huh.
It was like a lot of shanties and, you know.
Yeah.
Well, that was a good set, and I for one, was not
there was
bored,
a lot of
bored with
in
the
it.
Show.
Oh, okay. Well, actually, we'll get to Best Playing Musical hopefully before the segment ends. So let's do the design things, and then we'll quickly weigh in on the big stuff. But costume design for a play, Michael Crass, The Constant Wife, Santa Loquasto, A Touch of the Poet, Catherine Zuber, Awake and Sing, and once again, Catherine Zuber, for Edward Albee's Seascape. Charlie, let's go with you first.
Okay, well, I think all these shows have closed, haven't they?
Yeah, mercifully for a couple of...
Awake
and Sing is actually extended, I think.
Okay,
yeah.
All right, so Awake and Sing is open. That kind of gives it an advantage. Shows that are still running tend to be looked on more favorably, whether they deserve it or not. However, in this case, I think the giant lizards in Seascape will get the Tony from his.
Well, this is also a tough category for her because she's nominated for a show that's open and a show that's closed, and the better costumes are really for the closed show,
mm-hmm.
but it may split the votes.
Well, but then again, I mean, you can't put a lizard in Awake and Sing. I mean, you can't. It's a
right.
better. Is it better if they could design all
well,
the
were,
family
really,
lizards?
The costumes were very, very good in Awake and Sing. In Seascape. There were only four of them.
Right.
But,
yeah.
you know, I thought that the older couple was dressed very... They were perfect for what they were doing. It was functional. They moved well.
Do you think The Constant Wife has any shot because it was a period piece?
No.
And those tend, like in movies.
No one remembers it.
Well, actually, given the amount of Tonys it's been nominated for, apparently a lot of people have remembered it, which is
That was one Tony nominated, and whoever you are, I'll get you.
Right, a friend of the Redgraves or something, yeah.
Well, Lynn Redgrave was nominated.
Right, exactly. Well, or they were just filling categories. It was a cute revival, but it wasn't
special.
Burton
was also nominated.
The Roundabout. They have to nominate The Roundabout, or the Tonys explode. I told you that before.
Let's get to the explosive costumes for musical. See, I do these horrible segues.
You haven't told us your picks at all.
I don't have time to think about my picks.
Okay.
Well, I think you're kind of right about the Seascape Lizard. I mean, if they want to give Seascape anything, that would be the thing.
Oh,
certainly
yeah.
not for set, which is sand. You know.
I thought the set was really...
It was fine. It was what it
you
was.
But they had to have all those levels, and they had to have... There was a lot of stuff going on. I thought it was a brilliant revival.
Oh, I don't like the play to begin with. But anyway, that's other stuff. Costume design for a musical. Greg Barnes, the drowsy chaperone. Susan Hilferty for Lestat. Martin Pakladinas, probably mispronouncing that, the pajama game. And
it's Pakladinas. Don't you remember when Dame Edna gave him his Tony? And just talked over his whole acceptance time. It took everything because she gave a big kiss on the cheek.
Ew.
And during his whole acceptance speech was his big red lip mark from Dame Edna.
Oh, God.
She went, "El Martin Pakladinas."
Well, was she pronouncing it right?
That's
probably.
Well, I'm using the Dame Edna pronunciation.
Okay.
Okay. Now that we've got that out of the way, can we decide who's going to get the Tony or who we think should get the Tony?
Well, okay. Charlie, tell us.
All right, I think I would have to go again with the drowsy chaperone. Number one, I like the costumes.
Yep.
Period. It not only has to be reasonably accurate, but it has to invoke the way we imagine a 1920s musical would look. So even if it's not 100% accurate, but it certainly convinced me, you know, it certainly created that aura.
And also, Sutton Foster has a
also, drowsy
change.
Chaperone,
yeah.
like the History Boys, is the it musical this year.
Well, no, Jersey Boys, there's sort of a bifurcated it in this particular
yeah.
case. There's Jersey Boys, Chaperone came on strong towards the end, but if you remember, Jersey Boys held the year for about half a year.
Jersey Boys will have, and I guess we'll discuss this later when we get to Best Musical, but Jersey Boys is a review using non-original music.
Right. Well,
and,
yeah, I know
and
that.
Number
yeah.
one, and number two, it's not nominated in this category, so that's irrelevant.
Good point. Okay, well, what about Pajama Game, though? What about the costumes in that versus...
Pajama Game also has wonderful costumes.
But you
actually,
go,
this
yeah.
is one that Color Purple could win. Color Purple has great costumes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are any of them actually purple?
Yes.
You noticed?
Uh-huh.
Cool. Good
there was
your
a
job.
Lot of purple in that show.
See, you're looking for these things. I'll bet
I
if you
was...
interview... I probably should have asked one of the costume designers to be able to... Because sometimes you look at it, you're like, oh, okay. And then they tell you the things that were going through their minds and the way the light hits the fabric. And it's like, wow.
That's what I miss about the PBS version of the Tonys.
Yes.
When they did that. They did that so wonderfully because they interviewed all the minor Tonys, as it were.
Right. And it was a pre-documentary, but you really got insight sometimes.
Oh, what a good word, pre-documentary.
Thank you. Thank
that
you
really
so much.
Good.
Let's get to some post-lighting design for play. Christopher Ackerland for Awake and Sing, Paul Gallo, 3 Days of Rain, Mark Henderson for Faith Healer, and again, Mark Henderson for The History Boys. Lighting design play.
I can't see it. I just can't see that award.
Yeah.
I didn't think there was any outstanding lighting this whole... I mean, Awake and Sing, possibly. I mean, there was History Boys. It depends. Are you going to do the films... What do you
the projections?
The projections. Is that may be part of lighting.
I don't know. I would assume not. I would assume that it's...
I know, but...
I don't think people will include the projections. My choice, interestingly enough, is 3 Days of Rain.
Okay, how come?
I just feel that the lighting contributed to the overall feel of the play.
It did set moods. I think it was one of the most successful aspects of this... not very successful production.
Probably the hardest thing to notice in the average play.
Yeah.
But I think it was subtle enough, but subtle but effective enough.
Okay. How about lighting design for a musical? We've got The Drowsy Chaperone, Ken Billington, Jersey Boys, Howell Binkley, Tarzan, Natasha Katz, one of his few nominations, and The Color Purple, Brian McDevitt. Jeff?
Well, I think this is where Jersey Boys shines, because it does set the mood. It takes that big iron monster, whatever that is, and it really has to create all these different atmospheres.
I agree. I mean, I thought the lighting was really part and parcel of the way the thing moved along and just set these different spaces and time.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about you, Charlie.
I would have to concur.
Yeah. I mean, that's the one I think where Jersey Boys really should win, although I think it lost the Drama Desk to another on that. I was pretty... Oh, no, that was the director. Sorry. It was a Des McAnuff thing. I thought he was a shoe-in, and he wasn't.
And I also thought Tarzan's lighting design was pretty good, too.
Yeah,
I had a lot of good effects. Tarzan had great
Tarzan's getting short shrift, but it does some really wonderful things, even though the whole thing is kind of a mess.
I mean, the whole beginning is terrific.
Yeah, the shipwreck, the drowning. We have just a little bit of time, so let's get to direction of a play. We've got Nicholas Heitner for The History Boys, Wilson Milam for Lieutenant of Inishmore, Bartlett Scherr, Awaken Sing, and Daniel Sullivan, Rabbit Hole.
I would personally give it to Rabbit Hole because I really, of those plays, I enjoyed it the most by far. I think History Boys is the play that will win it. Again, partially the History Boys suite, partially it is. Well, I shouldn't say it is well staged because from where I was sitting, I had a better view of the backstage than I did of the play itself.
But I think you might be right about History Boys taking it. And yet, I have this. Now that it's receded into memory, I think a lot of the people I'm talking to really dug Rabbit Hole and are appreciating it more almost now that a few weeks have passed and how subtle and well done that was.
Yeah.
Although, I don't know, I'm...
The problem, the disadvantage that Rabbit Hole will have is that it is no longer running.
Right. Well, yeah. What about Inishmore? You think it has a shot or is that just shock value?
It certainly has a shot, and I think last year... and I'm blanking out on the play, was shock value.
Oh, Pillowman.
Pillowman was shock value. I think Inishmore has a little more going for it. I certainly enjoyed it much more than Pillowman, which I believe is from by the same author.
Yes, Martin McDonagh.
Certainly, you watch the play, you think the author should be locked up somewhere.
Oh,
but...
Well, you knew that from Beauty Queen of Lena.
Pretty much, with a hand in the pot. Jeff, I need your pick on direction of a play.
I loved Rabbit Hole. I'd Rabbit Hole everything.
Let's leave your sex life out of this, Jeff. But anyway, very quickly, Charlie, because we have to lose you. I can ask Jeff later. But your pick and prediction for best play and best musical of the year. Tony, for Broadway.
Okay. Well, my pick for best musical would be Rabbit Hole.
However,
we're living in a rabbit hole. We're living in a
our child just
history
died.
History Boys will win it.
History Boys will win for play.
Right.
And your choice would be for Rabbit Hole?
My choice would be Rabbit Hole.
And what about musical?
Musical is a little trickier. You've got some reasonably good musicals. None of them really stand
okay,
tell out.
Okay, you love The Wedding Singer. Tell them you love The Wedding Singer.
I actually did enjoy The Wedding Singer a lot more than I had planned to. However, I think The Drowsy Chaperone, which really, as far as story and score is concerned, really isn't that much better than The Wedding Singer if you break it down. But it is such a valentine to the musical theater.
And it's original.
I'm sorry?
I mean, as Jeff says, unlike Jersey Boys, the score is original.
Right.
It may be in an old style, but it is an original thing. So you would choose Drowsy Chaperone.
I would choose Drowsy Chaperone, and I think Drowsy Chaperone will win.
Wow. Okay, Charlie Gross, you were a wonderful winner on this WGBB Tony special. Got to let you go because we've got so much other stuff to do, but you've been great. Everybody catch Two on the Isle Friday nights on Manhattan Neighborhood Network in, where else, Manhattan. Charlie, have a great one.
Thank you, Dave.
Bye, Charlie.
Bye, Jeff.